Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Countrymen, to another edition of Friday morning game preview edition of Cabale and Mac. He is longtime Steelers reporter, correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, Mr. Mark Cabale. I'm just a guy with a microphone in his basement, Chris Mack. We appreciate each and every one of you for supporting the show, for following us on social media, which could pay off in a big way during the holidays. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show because we've got a fun little thing to announce, some giveaways. During the holiday season between Thanksgiving and Christmas window, we got a Thursday night game that I think is pretty valuable for talking about because the Steelers play one of those two teams in 9 days. They've got the Bears coming up. We'll talk to Chris Emma, Bears reporter for 670 The Score in Chicago. He'll join us on his way to Bears practice. Got a lot to get to. We appreciate Ian's jumping in. We appreciate everybody supporting the show, including our good friends at Archie's. Arch is the man. Arch is doing great things on the South Side and doing great things supporting what we're doing here. Great wings, ice cold beers, everything you need down there at Archie's. Go get it on the South Side every single night of the week, and especially on weekends when you're watching ball. Monday through Thursday nights, 80-cent wings. And, of course, great sandwiches, burgers, pizzas, all of it as well down at Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Kaboom. How you doing this morning?
Oh, absolutely wonderful.
You didn't really sell that well. I was kind of like, wonderful.
I'm just not in the selling mood today.
Why not?
I don't know.
What's wrong?
November 21st, I have to go to a cheerleading banquet tonight. So,
ooh, exciting.
If that's a word you want to use.
You don't seem too jazzed up about it, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
If anybody gets jazzed up for cheerleading banquets other than the kids?
Well, it goes to cheerleading banquet to other kids' birthday party tomorrow at 10 a.m. to the airport to Chicago to that rigmarole to the drive home, just to start it all over again.
It's like an hour long flight to Chicago, and there's no connection.
You just didn't hear me say drive home.
So wait, are you flying there and driving back? What is going on?
Yes, I am.
Why? Why wouldn't you do the same thing both ways?
There's a multitude of reasons.
Do we need to get into them?
Well, do you want me to give you the old shortcut version of it?
Yeah, in a nutshell, why are your travel arrangements so difficult for Chicago this weekend?
I screwed up the goddamn hotel room. They wouldn't let me rebook it, even though I was just going to rebook it literally a second after I hit it. So that... but mostly because our great friend Jeffrey Hathorne is leaving the Georgia Tech game after doing a post-game show on Saturday, driving out there, then have to drive back by himself. And I said that you could stay at my hotel for that night, and I will accompany you back home so you don't crash into the wall.
Okay. All right. So
I'm a nice guy.
You are a nice guy. No one ever said you weren't a nice guy. I'm just used to your travel issues being a big deal, and it's why I wondered why you would fly there but drive back. But it's to help out our good friend Jeff Hathorne. Yes. Hardest working man in Pittsburgh sports.
Although
media.
I'll probably be sleeping the whole way back, so I don't know if I'm going to be.
Yeah, how's that going to save him from falling asleep if you're sleeping in the passenger seat?
I'll probably be snoring in his ear, so he'll probably get like amused by that.
Good point. That'll keep him awake.
Plus, I don't sleep more than 35 straight minutes, so regardless, I'm going to be up. I'm not Kevin Gorman. Close your eyes, and next thing you know, you're in Pittsburgh.
I'm like Gormy, man. I can close my eyes and sleep at the drop of a hat and sleep forever. Wake up 9 hours later and be like, all right, let's go. But I know it's not as easy.
So that's why I'm a little bit on the grump mode today.
Okay. Well, you'll get through the weekend. Everything will be okay. You'll get through the Bears game, and then the Steelers will get to look forward to the Bills, who will be coming off a little mini bye and also coming off a loss in Houston. Let's talk about this Thursday night game real quick, because you know, usually we touch on the Thursday night games at least just a little bit, but in this case, the Bills are the Steelers' next opponent after the Bears. And we'll get into whether Rodgers is going to play or not. I increasingly think so. The Chicago offense, everything they're doing against the Steelers' defense, two improving units, meeting at Soldier Field. But I want to start with Buffalo getting it didn't feel like they were dominated by Houston, but Houston's defense just never stopped getting after Josh Allen. 8 sacks. Will Allen had the game of a lifetime. I mean, he was in Josh Allen's kitchen all night. Will Anderson, sorry. Josh Allen's kitchen all night long. And Houston's won 3 in a row now, so they're making a little bit of a run. But more importantly, like, Buffalo looks beatable. They've lost to Atlanta on the road. They've lost to Houston on the road. They've lost to New England, although New England's proving to be pretty good. So I think it creates an interesting dynamic where they're going to have some extra time for Sean McDermott to cook some things up maybe, and for the Bills to bounce back next Sunday when they come into town.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of resemblance of the Steelers offensively. I know the quarterback's a little bit better, but I mean, the protection is iffy. The wide receivers are not there making big plays, even though Khalil Shakir was what, went over 110.
Well, they sat Keon Coleman.
He's a head case. There's a shock. There's another Steelers, thing that we always talk about. Head case
receivers.
Receivers. For them to sit him in a game like that, man, don't give me the garbage that, oh, he just needs to be mature. No, he did something or didn't do something to get him to that point. But, you know, that's the whole AFC now. There's not a team in the AFC right now that doesn't look great one week. Yeah, you know, that's the team to beat. I've got a little question mark there. The one you have to look at right now that hasn't really went down that sort of that roller coaster ride has to be the New England Patriots. Are they now the favorite in the most consistent favorite team in the AFC right now? They have not hit that bump in the road.
They haven't. I mean, you could argue, I guess, maybe the Steelers game early in the season was their bump in the road, but it wasn't much of one. Their offense still moved the ball pretty well. They turned it over 5 times, obviously. But yeah, I mean, they're right back to being the Patriots, it feels like. And the Broncos have been able to push through against an admittedly soft schedule until they played the Chiefs last week with Bo Nix struggling at times, but they're 9-2. I think the important thing to note here is that defense is winning for teams with young quarterbacks in Denver and New England. And in Indy, it's all about the run game. I don't want to take anything away from Daniel Jones, the run game and the tight end. You are not seeing what we're used to seeing in the AFC, where it's all driven by the superstar quarterbacks. Josh Allen and the Bills are now the 6th seed in the AFC playoff picture. Mahomes and the Chiefs, 9th. Lamar and the Ravens, 10th. If you want to consider Burrow maybe making a quick return from surgery or relatively quick return from surgery, the Bengals are 12th in the conference. They're not making the playoffs. So all of these teams, and the Texans are winning without C.J. Stroud, for that matter. All of these teams that we're used to talking about being driven by quarterbacks are being driven by defense, I think.
Yep. It's a strange dynamic of how that's working so far with the quarterbacks. And, you know, this game did not help the Steelers. I don't think so, man. I think if you would like to have more space between.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
I mean, maybe the haves and the have-nots, the playoffs and in the playoffs right now. You just put Houston in solid wild card position mm-hmm. if they don't somehow overtake the Colts, which they still got a handful of games. I think they even play them twice, if I recall.
So you may be right about that. I'd have to.
But that leaves. I mean, I don't know if now you look at this game in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The more important to win, if you had to choose which one to win, Bears or Bills?
Bills.
You have to go with the Bills at this point. Yeah. Then you go Baltimore after that.
Which is the most important.
The good thing is here with all of these teams is it's basically up to you. I mean, every single one of these teams are in playoff contention. If you do your job better than the team beneath you or above you and win some games, you're going to have a chance to make the playoffs and win the division. It's going to be left up to you. It's not going to be like backing in. You're going to have to go out there and win some games.
Yeah, I feel like for the most part, and the Steelers are the 4th division leader right now in the AFC. Behind the Broncos, Pats, and Colts. So there's the chance that they're also battling for wild card position if the Ravens do catch them. But I think the point that you're making is valid for really every team in the AFC still, even those teams that are only sitting there with 2 losses in Denver, New England, and Indy, which is everything's kind of laid out in front of you. As long as you're not the Chiefs or the Ravens, you're not pushing uphill here. And you've got an opportunity to just go out, win the majority of your ball games down the stretch and make the playoffs, and we'll see where the matchups and the chips fall after that.
It's crazy because the 10 teams are in playoff contention in the AFC. 8 of them are teams that have looked great or teams that have looked like crap. I mean, we're not talking about, okay, they look good in September and now they're struggling in November. It's week to week with these teams right mm-hmm. now. And I've never seen it this way. And like you said, the top 2 teams in the AFC right now are the 2 teams that you probably have the most questions about. Can Denver hold on? Can New England really hold on to this?
Well, I think they can both win ugly, which is – and I'd add the Colts into that too after their win over in Germany against the Falcons a couple weeks ago. They can all win ugly if they have to, which is important when you get to December and January football.
You look at the Patriots, I mean, they got the Bengals, the Bengals, the Giants, the Jets, and the Dolphins of their 4 of their last 6 games.
Stacks up nicely for them.
And they got Baltimore and Buffalo too, yeah, but you're looking right now, it could be you just show up and win 13 games. You're 13-4 at this point.
Well, we'll talk more about Buffalo, obviously, next week in getting ready for that game. But I thought it was something to see the Texans rush Allen the way they did and not have him break outside of the pocket and take off as much as he's used to doing. They did a real good job of containing him on the pass rush, which
they still rushed for 100 and some odd yards. He still rushed for 260 some odd yards. It's those, you know, big plays that they were able to hold him down.
Sacks and turnovers, baby. Sacks and turnovers. That's the story. That's what's worked for the Bears defense. They lead the league in turnovers. We'll get into that in just a second. First, I want to thank the friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. You need to get the furnace checked up before it gets really, really cold out there. by all means, reach out to them on Facebook. You can message them there at Impact HVAC PGH or give them a call, 412-297-1852. They'll run that furnace checkup for you right now. Furnace tune-up going into the cold winter months at half price. If you have a new article of kids' clothing or a new kids' toy to donate to the Foster Love Project, that furnace checkup will go from $79.99 to just $39.99. Get it scheduled today. Again, message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH or give them a call at 412-297-1852. Before we get into the Bears specifically, who we talked about a little bit with Wani the other day. By the way, great stuff from Dave Wonstadt. If you missed that episode, go back and check it out ahead of this weekend's game, especially if you're just in for the a ton of great stories about, you know, almost getting hired for the Steelers gig in the early 90s before Coward did, being at Pitt, being in Dallas, all of it. Go back and check that out. But before we get into the Bears, it feels like it's inevitable now that Aaron Rodgers, short of something weird happening today, today's Friday, at practice, is going to start this game at Soldier Field.
By the way, we having issues with live broadcast here on Tweeter Machine?
I don't know. Are you noticing an issue?
Every time I try to refresh something, it just says...
The Tweeter was down the other day, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, normally we have more than 70 people viewing us as well.
That would indicate an issue then with the live streaming.
Oh, well, you just got to go to YouTube. How do you know when to go to YouTube?
Go to YouTube whenever you want. You can watch it live or you can watch it later. That's
weird. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he's going to play.
Very interesting on Wednesday. I mean, on Wednesday he didn't practice and he did his couple of his darts. His low-key darts. And if you happen to see Seth Rollins on Good Morning Football.
I missed it.
That's what I'm talking about. He was so angry at Aaron Rodgers. I hate this guy. He's talking about beating us on Thursday and Friday and Sunday. And he goes, I'm sure there's some Saturdays and Tuesdays in there as well. And he's just, I mean, that's just a typical Bears fan. I think that's what he's doing. Yesterday, if you saw during the open portion of practice, he was out there tossing the old pigskin around, but
he looked good.
Just tossing the pigskin around a little bit. I just don't understand how it took him to still working through a brace when it looked like he just had an ace bandage put on his arm. It wasn't much of a
brace
put on his hand, but you know, after you know, by that practice report and him's limited, pretty much tells you that. That might have been the only thing he did on this day. We'll see what's in store here today and see if they relisted him. I'm sure regardless one way or the other, they're going to list him as a questionable for today. I don't think they're going to – would never list him out even if he is going to be out, even though I don't expect him to be out. So –
I mean, if he gets a full practice in today, or even if he's still technically limited, they're going to go with him on Sunday. Like, they're not going to not play him. I've come around to that realization after we talked about it earlier in the week and watching him speak to the media.
I think it might be more important this week just to get Mason more ready just in case. You know, maybe he does fall on his arm. Maybe he does whatever. Maybe he doesn't fill up the snuff with the, maybe the first snap of the game and, you know, it hurts his finger, his wrist or whatever. But I think they put themselves in the situation. He mentioned him. I mean, he's going to probably go from the pistol a little bit, which is fine. I mean, we've seen Ben do that before when he had ankle problems, just go from the press pistol. And when Ben had the hand-thumb problems before, he would hand off with just the opposite hand regardless of
right.
So I'm sure that that's not much of an issue.
Yeah, the snaps and the handoffs and the things like that are things you can work around. What you can't really work around are when you're trying to get rid of the ball and you're trying to avoid being hit and somebody does make contact and when you go to the ground, you instinctively want to brace yourself with that hand, which is the way he got hurt in the first place. And like I've said before, the last few weeks, Rodgers has looked more aware of the pass rush than maybe he needed to be. Maybe, like he said on Wednesday, he's just feeling a little bit more mobile than he has since the beginning of the year. And so his feet are moving a little bit more. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. There's a chance Rodgers goes out there and carves him up and looks fine. There's also a chance, I think, that he goes out there and, even if it's subconsciously, is worried about taking hits or going to the ground with that left hand, and it could affect the way he plays.
Yeah. The last thing you want is Montez Sweat or Grady Jarrett falling on you. Like you said, him bracing. And I think he made that pretty much crystal clear on Wednesday. That's the only issue.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That he's facing, if he can protect himself and the safety of the issue of the broken, of whatever. I mean, what it looked like to me was, and if you saw his brace, there was the thumb was exposed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hands and the fingers and the thumb were exposed, which leads you to believe that, you know, that's not going to be an issue of trying to grip the ball, even if he does, you know, go under center. It seems like it is definitely, obviously, up more on the wrist. I think he's going to play. It's just a matter if he does get that awkward hit off the ground. Is Mason ready? And I think that's what they're doing this week, trying to get Mason as ready as possible just in case.
I mean, we've said this before. I think we both trust Mason to be ready if he's got to get thrown in there, much like he got thrown in there in the second half last week. I don't know. You know, I know we just got done talking about Davis Mills winning a couple games for the Texans, but I don't know if there's many backup quarterbacks who are as ready to go in at a moment's notice as Mason Rudolph. I would, you know, if something were to happen to Rodgers, I would trust Rudolph, no problem. We were talking earlier in the week about maybe just getting him in there anyway if Rodgers wasn't healthy enough to go. So I have no problem with that at all. I think there is a few concerns on the other side of the ball. I mentioned that Chicago likes to turn it over. The Steelers like to turn it over. There's the number one and two defenses in the league in forcing turnovers. Chicago, though, on offense has made the most of those by simply running the ball down people's throats, and not like in a traditional 3 yards in a cloud of dust deal. They've got DeAndre Swift. They've got the rookie Kyle Monongai, who has, I mean, it's a nice 1-2 punch they've got right now. And then you've got the added problem of Caleb Williams being able to break the pocket whenever he feels like it. If you don't run a good pass rush where you can keep him contained, the Bears over the last 3 weeks are averaging 198 yards rushing and 5.7 yards a carry. Caleb Williams over the last 4 weeks is averaging over 8 yards a carry. So that's where the problem comes in. The Steelers had their issues against the run earlier in the year, and that is something that, at least as a fan, I worry could pop back up this weekend when you're worried about the tight end, when you're worried about the guys on the outside, you're worried about the quarterback breaking contain. All of a sudden, they could just turn around and hand it off, and DeAndre Swift and Kyle Monongai could have a good day.
Yeah, you know, I think they'll be ready for Caleb Williams breaking the pocket. I don't think that's going to be a factor because, you know, they brought in John Rice Plumlee from, what, Central Florida, Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. He was on the, you know, he was back and forth on the practice squad. That dude's a little jitterbug back there during practice. And obviously he was told, you know, do some crazy things back there. And for the most part, that he's given them a very, very good look of what Caleb Williams might be able to do. So I wouldn't worry about that. I would worry more about him throwing off of that, you know, his scrambling ability and trying to hit down the field with some of the, I mean, probably arguably, maybe not arguably, the deepest wide receiver crew that they'll face this year. I mean, they got three solid stars. I think Probably.
Yeah, they got the young guys. Odunze's, I think, become a go-to target. Burden is a deep threat, and DJ Moore is a reliable target as well. And they've got two really good tight ends, Komet and Loveland.
They got the running back that can take it and go, too, off the pass, too. So they're going to be tested in the secondary, and I don't think that him running the ball, I think him moving the pocket and running the ball might be more of an issue than anything else. I think Bryce Plumlee's actually given him a good look. I mean, we've seen that in the past from the Steelers. When they would face Lamar, they would bring guys in specifically, and it's always seemed to work. So it's going to be interesting to see if that's the case or not. But, you know, Steelers, they come to Chicago, man. That's their house of horrors, man. It's going to be an interesting dynamic. Chicago, Steelers house of horror. Aaron Rodgers owns Chicago.
What is he like? It's a ridiculous record. What is it?
Well, it's like 26-4 or something overall. Yeah. Something like 26-5, and you know, about half and half, both winning at home and winning on the road. So maybe that's one of the reasons why they want Aaron Rodgers to play in Chicago to counteract that. They had some bad losses in Chicago.
Do you really consider Soldier Field a house of horrors? I mean, they don't play there that often.
Yeah, when was the last time they won? Like 62? No, they won in 90-something, didn't they? But since then, they've only won once there, right?
Hold on. I'm going to have to look now. They... they won there. No, that was at home. Hold on. I'm trying to scroll through the results now. They won there in overtime in 1995. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that made me
they've only played there three times, though, since. Twice.
They lost in, like, 92.
I mean, how much bearing does any of that have on what we're going to
see? Last time they won, not only that happened, you had the old Villanova wave of crap that happened. And all that.
Yeah, but that didn't have any effect on the game at all.
Oh, it did have an effect when CNN showed up the next day at the Steelers practice facility.
Right, but it didn't have any effect on the game itself. Like, this actually is a sad fact that these two teams, because they're in different conferences, don't play more often. I would love to see the Steelers and Bears get together more than once every 4 years.
Who was the goofy Steelers linebacker that bumped into the ref? He used to be the Steelers linebacker, went to Chicago, bumped into the ref 8 years ago.
Four years ago.
The goofy guy.
The goofy guy.
You know, I mean, somebody in the chat has to know the goofy former Steelers linebacker turned to Bears linebacker, bumps into the ref.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
What?
At all. I don't. How long ago was this?
4 years ago? Was it four?
I think you're making things up.
Cassius Marsh.
Jesus.
That's what I'm talking about. He hip-checked him. You remember?
I vaguely remember something with that dude. Yeah, and they threw a flag.
Tony Corretti, like, hip-checked him or something.
It was something stupid, yeah. Oh, it was something so stupid. Was that a primetime game? I want to say. I can't remember. Point is, the Steelers and Bears don't play very often. And it should be, with them being two historical franchises, a matchup I think we should get a chance to see more often. But that's just the way the NFL schedule works.
Marsh is a weird guy. And
I forgot if that dude even existed.
Even the guy in the comments that says, I probably have a picture on my phone. I probably do. Now, the Cassius Marsh is a weird guy that like collects Pokemon and stuff like that, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Something weird.
I don't even remember. I vaguely remember him being on the team, let alone did I know anything about the man. Didn't he have a bunch of crazy tattoos or something?
Yeah, he was an interesting bird.
I
swear to you, he does some sort of.
I definitely don't remember anything about him collecting Pokemon. Why
the
hell?
He's the CEO and owner of a trading card company, which he started in February.
All righty
then.
But this Cassius is how infrequent the Steelers play the Bears. We're down to talking about a moment Cassius Marsh bumped into an official.
And, oh my goodness.
What?
He has an Instagram page. He's like opening boxes of Pokemon cards. Ooh, okay now.
So one of the things that came out of last weekend's game is that it feels like the football world at large is starting to fall in love with Darnell Wright the way Darnell Washington. Darnell Wright's a tackle for the Bears. Darnell Washington, the rest of the world is falling in love with him the way we have in Pittsburgh. He won the Angry Runs Scepter from Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football. Everybody's been sharing that video all week long of him just destroying everybody in the Bengals secondary. I'm curious to see how the Bears take care of that. I'm curious to see if they're willing to put the other Darnell Wright, on an island against TJ Watt at all, because to go back to last night's game, we're seeing Will Anderson join this group of edge rush.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Who can just wreck a game if you don't give your tackle any kind of help with a chip or an extra blocker or something. All questions that I think are valuable to ask of someone from Chicago, which we will do in just a second. But first, I want to thank our friends at Higgins Professional Painting. They did a great job at Kaboom's house, and I'm going to have them into my house soon. They'll do a great job at your house or your business. They do interior and exterior painting, not just residential, but commercial and industrial as well. They've been doing it for 4 decades in the Pittsburgh area, and we cannot wait to have them in my home, and you should have them in your home. You need any kind of work done, whether it's just the drywall repair and then the painting, or the painting, you want a color consultation, all of it. They do a great job. You want to get them in your house for a free estimate today. Get in touch with them at HigginsProfessional.com or give them a call, 412-344-0480, 412-344-0480. We appreciate them supporting the program. So we went and got somebody from Chicago. We got Chris Emma of 670, The Score in Chicago, who is right now on his way to practice, driving in the car. So he has responsibly turned his camera off. I was going to try to do a thing here where I got your picture up on the screen, Chris, while we talk to you, and it's not working. So we're just going to talk to the blank little circle in the middle of the screen. How are you, my friend?
I can turn my camera on if you want to stare at the ceiling of my car. Yeah, on my way up to Friday practice, a lot to unpack for the Bears, and I'm fired up for Sunday. This is going to be a really intriguing matchup. And from a Chicago perspective, we're all trying to figure out this Bears team, and I think this is going to be a heck of a litmus test.
Let's get to something really quick first. Let's get this out of the way. I'll be in Chicago Saturday night. What pizza place am I going to? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm biased through Lou Malnati's. If you want the deep dish experience, they got you covered. They will take care of you. I think you'll enjoy it. So that's my pick.
No Pequods or Pequods or
whatever. Pequods is my place. That's my place.
Pequods is great. That's a great one as well. I happen to live right by Lou Malnati, so that tends to be my go-to. And yeah, highly recommended.
Okay.
That's all I need to know. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you guys.
All right, Chris, I'm enough. We just got done talking about Caleb Williams' ability to make things happen on the run, but it's not just him. Like we talked to Dave Wonstedt the other day, Chris, and he told us about going up to see one of their practices early in the year. And the thing that stood out to him was Caleb under center, a tailback behind him, tight ends on the field, a lot of play action. So a lot of the stuff Ben Johnson ran in Detroit. And this strikes me as a game. I don't know how you're looking at it in Chicago as a game that's going to rely on the run game on both sides, because the Bears have been able to run the ball really well, especially in the last few weeks.
Yeah, look, I mean, Ben Johnson's bread and butter is running the football. And when you think about Ben Johnson's offense, you think about the trick plays, a lot of the excitement in the passing game. He wants to run the darn ball. They're ranked second in rushing right now in the league, which is a heck of a turnaround because they were 25th a year ago. And it's DeAndre Swift. It's the same running back as last year. The offensive line has made such a difference. And when you're facing a team with that kind of defensive front like the Steelers have, and the Werewolves, as Ben Johnson referred to those pass rushers, you got to work around that. It can be a really long day for Caleb Williams if he's under siege all day. So they want to really establish the run. And that's going to be a critical component if they want to move the ball and have success on offense. And they're coming off a game last Sunday in Minneapolis against a team that runs a similar style of defense in the Vikings. And obviously, familiar face for Pittsburgh with Brian Flores on the other side coordinating that defense. So they got a test out of the way, but they didn't handle it that well. They only reached the end zone once. They settled for 4 field goals and squeaked by with another 19-17 winner. So this is going to be a very similar type matchup, and running the ball is going to be really critical for them.
Chris, do you get the feeling that the Bears, I don't know, maybe the fans, maybe the players, whoever, want to see Aaron Rodgers just to get this monkey off their back and give him one last smack upside the head, or they would just want to avoid him, man? I don't want to see this guy. Which feeling do you have?
You know, I think the city wants to see Aaron Rodgers. The players, this is such a new, young team. Most of these guys didn't face Aaron Rodgers, and the ones that did faced him with another team, like Kevin Byard with the Titans or et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of these guys in this locker room had not lived the tortured experience of facing Aaron Rodgers twice a year. The Bears did 24 losses, 5 wins against Aaron Rodgers in his time with the Packers. He's killed the Bears, and he's not just been sensational. He rubs the city's nose. And you heard his comments this week talking about in his little tone, talking about how much he loves that rivalry, and with a little grin, and like, you know what he's thinking. He wants one more crack at this. I'm fascinated by whether he plays or not, because like the Steelers have some really big AFC games coming up, as you know. So maybe you're better to sit him this week and make sure he heals that thing a little bit more and gets ready for the stretch run. Like, obviously it's a left wrist, it's the non-throwing wrist, but all it takes is one fall and that thing is in some serious damage. So I'm fascinated by how this plays out. But look, as somebody who loves football and has followed this team for years, I want to see Aaron Rodgers out there. It's great theater. It's great drama. And it adds quite an element that, no disrespect to Mason Rudolph, but you're not getting that if he's out there.
Yeah, it's a good point. And this defense, I would think, is going to take a few extra swipes at that left hand, that left arm, every time they get close to Aaron Rodgers. It's just part of the game. Whether it's Rodgers or Rudolph, Chris, tell me about the Bears' defense and how they've been able to generate as many turnovers, league-leading 22 turnovers, including 15 picks, as they have.
Gosh, I mean, and that's a great question. A lot of it's just guys with tremendous instincts and talent. I mean, Kevin Byard's a 32-year-old who's been all-pro. He's got second overall in the league in active career. Interception, 34, is leading the league this year with 5. He got 2 guys in Tremaine Edmonds and Deshaun Wright with 4. Who Deshaun Wright's a terrific story. I mean, this guy was cut loose by the Vikings, was, you know, somebody the Bears admittedly were not expecting anything of, and he's second in the league in picks. He's a 6'4 corner with range and athleticism to make plays. Tremaine Edmonds, a monster out there at 6'5, 260, whatever. Like, he's somebody that takes away plays over the middle. And he's had a lot of success moving from the Mike spot to the Will spot. So that's been a critical component of this defense. But look, like, this defense has gotten by with picks, and you can't take that away from them. They're leading the league in turnovers here, but they're ranked 26th overall in team defense. They've not been a great defense this year. That said, they've been injured, and I'm fascinated to see how they look on Sunday. We might hear in the next couple hours that Jalen Johnson is going to be activated for Sunday, their Pro Bowl corner who back way ahead of time from core muscle surgery in September. The 21-day window is open. It might be something where they say we're going to wait till next week for that Black Friday game in Philly, but that's what I'm perked up about today, is the idea of Jalen Johnson being back. Tyler Gordon, their star nickel corner, is somebody who, if not this week, then probably next week. TJ Edwards, their dynamic inside linebacker, probably still a week or two away as well, but this defense is getting key guys back, and they've just been holding certain so far this year. Down the stretch, this defense could be a strength for this team that I thought it was going to be when healthy. So I'm fascinated how it looks by Sunday, but I'm really intrigued by how this defense looks the rest of the way.
Well, I wouldn't quite say the Bears are a young team, but, you know, there are obviously new faces around, especially with the coaching staff. Usually it takes time to be able to mold this together into a winning program. However, they've won, what, five of their seven games by a total of 13 points?
Yeah.
Does that surprise you when you hear something like, and how have they been able to do that other than, I guess, the turnovers?
And they're 7-3 with a negative point differential. It's fascinating. And like everybody in Chicago, it's been, I think a lot of fans are joyless in a way, which is strange because this team just loses year after year. And here they are winning and everybody's poking holes and flaws in this thing. And it's like, just enjoy the ride. Like, this is a free year for the Bears. They were, you're right, Mark. They were not supposed to be this good at this point. They were not supposed to be in first place of a really talented, deep NFC North. And they have really overachieved. I think he's going to come back down to earth. I think everybody in Chicago kind of expects that. When there's final seven games, you got one team being the Browns with a losing record on the schedule. I mean, everybody else is tough in the playoff picture. They've had great fortunes, and I don't know if those fortunes are going to last. But if they do, like, this team can do something. Like I said, they're getting guys back healthy on defense. The glass half full look in the offense is that it's year one with Ben Johnson. Caleb Williams is progressing, albeit it's not a linear takeoff, but he's getting better. The running game is your identity, and you're establishing something on both sides of the football that you'll hope lasts for years to come. I picked them 9-8 this year. I think I might still stand by that, even here at 7-3, just because of how tough these tests are. But
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
10 games, 10 wins probably gets you into the playoff. If not, you're right there in the on the outside looking in. 11 certainly does get you in. So, look, Chicago has not had years of playoff luxury here. It's been a really tough run the last couple of decades for this franchise. And you feel like you've got the right head coach and the right quarterback in place. And as you know, in the NFL, that gets you a long way.
Chris, what do you think the plan is for them against TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, who it looks like may be back, and Nick Herbig, as well as Jack Sawyer, for that matter? Just Watt, especially at the head of that line, though, are they willing to let Darnell Wright try to handle things on his own, or is this we've got to chip and add an extra blocker on every single pass snap so that we don't let TJ Watt, who hasn't really had the kind of impact this year that he has the last few years, do they try to protect against Watt at all costs?
Yeah, I think he kind of works in concert with the idea of wanting to establish the run and doing it that way. I think you're going to hear number 75 tackle is eligible. That's Ozzie Trapillo, the second-round rookie who's been kind of their swing tackle. I think you're going to see him out there a lot as that tight end next to Darnell Wright, or next to probably Theo Benedict, more so than not, on the left side there. Second-year tackle, an undrafted free agent a year ago, has become a starter for this group. I think they're going to do everything they can to be wary of those guys. Ben Johnson spoke with such high respect, not just Watt, but all those guys that rush for that defensive front and understanding what a challenge it is. So Caleb Williams was sacked 68 times a year ago. That was nearly an NFL record. It was a record for rookie quarterbacks, but sacked 16 times in 10 games. That is a dramatic turnaround. But this offensive line is vastly improved with the three new starters in the interior. Now the fourth, Mathiel Bennett, had taken over for Braxton Jones at left tackle. This is a unit that is a lot better, and they feel comfortable with it. A large part of that is Ben Johnson being wary of really dynamic rushers that you got to contain.
I would say, what was your view on Caleb Williams? I mean, I believe you look at his stats, maybe he was responsible of winning the Dallas game with huge numbers. He hasn't really put up huge numbers. If he's forced to be able, have to go out there and win a game for him, is there confidence that he can win that game on there his own?
You know, if he played every game like the fourth quarter, then the Bears would have a heck of a quarterback right now. Like, he loves those moments. Caleb Williams thrives in the clutch. You see him on the sidelines, and he's smiling. He doesn't look nervous. He looks ready and excited. But he still is an incomplete product. The numbers reflect it. But you see him getting better, and it's a slow build. Like, the Bears did him so wrong last year by bringing him back with a lame duck coaching staff led by Matt Eberflus, an offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, who just did not connect with Williams at all. A coaching staff that had their own agendas, and Williams was simply kind of on the outskirts of it. They did not develop their young prize quarterback as a rookie last year. They're doing it now with Ben Johnson, but it is taking time. They made him drink through a fire hose during training camp, throwing every single concept of the offense at him, making him kind of struggle with it then so he could be more comfortable with it now. And you're seeing the comfort shine through, but he still is struggling with the timing and rhythm aspects. I think that's going to come in time as he gets more settled in with this scheme and understanding what he needs to do. But those issues reflect in not leading a receiver properly or misfiring on something or maybe hesitating. And then he does have to do that little Houdini scramble move, which is fun to watch, but you'd rather he just gets rid of the ball and hits his check down. So they're still working through this. And you hear Ben Johnson's voice through this talking about, as well as Declan Doyle, the offensive coordinator, about they see the progress. But it's pretty clear what he needs to improve, and that's standing in the pocket, not holding onto the ball so long, making those quick decisions that showcase comfort with the offense. I think that's going to come in time. I think he's probably right where he needs to be, which is sad to say for a quarterback late into his second season, but given what a catastrophe last year was for the Bears, I think this is probably fair to expect.
Let me go back to the other side of the ball again, Chris. And, you know, the Bears secondary is not the biggest in the world, other than Sean Wright, who is one of the bigger corners in the league. How do they plan to, if Darnell Washington gets the ball in space, take that man to the ground? Because I said it right before you came on. It feels like the rest of the world is catching on to what we've known here in Pittsburgh for the last few months, if not close to the last year, that Darnell Washington, Mount Washington, as we call him here in Pittsburgh, if he gets the ball, he's it's 8-9 yards at minimum. And if he gets it in open space, he's going to just start doing that thing you used to do to little brothers and cousins where you put your hand on their forehead and they swing their arms, but they can't touch you.
Yeah, Chris, man, you go down the list of like great players on the Steelers. I'm excited to see. I think Washington's above Watt and everybody else. I'm so excited to see this guy play. He's a dynamic weapon, and you got to be on your P's and Q's. You got to have your technique down. You got to make sure you're wrapping up and getting bodies to the football. And I don't know what their strategy is other than make sure you get hats there. Do everything you can. You saw it last week. He just bullies through defenders. It's fun to watch. But if you're a defender, you got to be ready to contain this guy. So, and he's just one of many weapons they got on offense, obviously. So he's a unique one. That's a unicorn out there, that size and that ability. So I'm excited to see him go out there and play.
Well, I don't know if you've been able to talk to defensive coordinator Dennis Allen at all, but do you think there's any still beef between him and Arthur Smith, Steelers offensive coordinator, over what happened a couple years ago with the old kneel down? Have you heard any rumblings about that at all? Arthur talked about it yesterday, and he's like, oh, there's more to the story. I'll let you know later.
Oh, gosh, I missed that comment. No, Dennis did not talk about that. I got the chance to talk to him. I confess I should have probably asked on that one. Yeah, it's I'm familiar with the beef. Look, I'm sure Arthur would love to put up some points on him and get even a little bit. That was nefarious at the end of that season when you're running up the score on a guy who you kind of know is out the door there. And Dennis, he was let go a few months after that, November of the following season. So if anybody can relate to that experience, it's Dennis Allen. And I would imagine just getting to know Dennis a little bit, that he felt some remorse, that he wasn't trying to go after Arthur in any way. But I wouldn't blame Arthur for being a little ticked off about that one still.
You got Antoine Redwell there too, huh? He's an interesting bird.
Oh, yeah. This is a heck of a coaching staff, man. And you talk about, you got Eric Bieniemy coaching running backs, who's like terrific running backs coach. Al Harris, who I'll remember, another recent player who's coaching the corners and doing a heck of a job. You talk about Deshaun Wright's breakthrough, like credit Al Harris for what he's done developing that guy. Dan Rosher's overhauled that offensive line and done terrific work. But Antoine Redondoel was like the first hire for Ben Johnson. He could not wait to bring him in. When you talk about setting a culture right, like that's the guy you want enforcing it. And you see Antoine Randall on the field, you hear him certainly. Those players feel his presence. And he's meant a great deal to that coaching staff. I know he's beloved in Pittsburgh and he's a Chicago guy. So people are really warming up to having him here and being a part of this coaching staff.
Well, before we let you run, Chris, and get it to Bears practice, we got to ask for an official prediction on this one. Steelers, Bears, Sunday afternoon, Soldier Field. What happens? Give us a winner and a score.
I confess I held out of my prediction till like this morning, and I was waiting more on Rodgers, and I was just I've been going back and forth on this, and I'm picking the Bears, and I think I was darn near like 18-0 last or 17-0 last year picking against the Bears just because it was so easy to do. I believe in this team. They keep finding a way to win. I think this is a matchup that leans toward the Bears in certain degrees, and I think they get it done again. And it's weird to talk about a Bears team saying, man, they keep finding a way to win for a team that kept finding a way to lose last year and years before that. But I'm bullish on their direction. I think this is a matchup that they can get. I think this is a game they can win. And if they win this one, you go into Black Friday in Philly at 8-3 and feeling really good about this football team for a marquee matchup. So, yeah, there's reason for excitement in Chicago. But like I said, this is a big litmus test and should be a really fun football game.
Chris, we appreciate you taking the time this morning, man. Should be a good one on Sunday afternoon. We'll catch up with you again soon.
And Lou Take care. Lou Malnati's, right?
Lou Malnati.
That's right. You got it, buddy.
Right. We'll see you. Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago. We appreciate him taking the time to give us a little Chicago taste of what's expected for Sunday afternoon at Soldier Field in Chicago, even if we didn't get to see his face. It happens.
Lou Malnati, you know what? I've never been to the one in Chicago. They have one in Phoenix I went to before. Good pie.
Lou Malnati's is good. I'd probably put it second on the list. You know what they do have at Lou Malnati's that is better than any other version of this I had when I was in Chicago?
But
the salad. The salad is amazing.
Oh, okay.
It's not on par with a Pittsburgh salad. There's no French fries on it, but it's close.
You go to Chicago because I want to eat their salad.
No, nobody goes to Chicago to eat the salad. You go for the pizza, but you get a little salad beforehand, right?
Get a little sub. What do they call this? Italian hoagies or whatever. Well, not Italian.
Grinders. What do they call them?
No, I'm talking about the beef. The beef hoagies.
Oh, the Italian beef. Those are good, too. Yeah, Pequod's is the place to go.
Yeah, I was there, last time we were there, 8 years ago, went to Pequod's. The trio of all trios, myself, Matty Sunday, photographer, and Chris Carter.
That is a trio that could put a hurting on a Pequod's pie, though, I'll tell you that.
I do got a picture of that Pequod pie on my phone.
Was there any left after you guys were done?
Well, we all got individuals and brought them home.
Okay, that's really smart. That's good work.
That's
thinking.
You know who's a big Pequod's boy, Joe Rutter. When he goes, he loves Lou Malnati's. And when we were in Phoenix for the owners meeting, they sold frozen ones, and he would.
Oh yeah, you can get them shipped to
you. And no, he put them in his darn suitcase.
He put the frozen pizza in his suitcase.
On his way home, he would go before he go to the airport, he'd drop by Lou Malnati's to get like frozen pies.
Was it complete? It had to be completely thawed out by the time you got home.
Now, those things are like deep froze.
Like you can get them delivered.
I know. I'll probably have to spend the extra $30.
Oh, it's really expensive. But if you really want good Chicago deep dish, you can get it delivered to wherever you are.
I go sausage.
Sausage is good. I mean, basic pepperoni too, especially if they're like the little pepperonis that turn into the little cups of grease, you know?
You know what I heard? I heard the salad's good.
It is. At Lou Malnati's, the salad is excellent. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to admit that.
You should be.
And I'm not. It's okay to have it's like mixing in a water when you're drinking, when you're at a party or something. You mix in a water so you don't get too tuned up. Right? So you're not totally hungover the next day. You go to get deep dish, you mix in a little salad.
I can get a salad anywhere.
It's a really good salad. That's what I'm saying. The dressing is fantastic.
I'm taking up vital space in the stomach for pizza with your god darn rabbit food.
But they put a bunch of stuff on it too. It's not just like
French fries?
No French fries because it ain't Pittsburgh. Okay. But I want to say there's ham on there, olives. It's a good salad.
You know, I think that's a misnomer about Pittsburgh.
What?
You only put French fries on Permanis. I don't put French fries on nothing else.
You don't like fries on your salad?
Oh, here we go with the salad again.
No. I'm asking a question. You said we don't put fries on anything else. We put fries on salad. It's called a Pittsburgh salad.
No, you call that anything. you just put fries on it and call it Pittsburgh. The only thing I have is the old Permanis type of sandwich. That's it. I mean, I'm not putting, where else are you going to put fries on? Like your cereal?
No.
Frosted Flakes? I mean, what are we talking about here? You don't put them on your hot dog. Speaking of that, those
Chicago dogs
with the big, why are you putting a big ass pickle on your hot dog?
Because a pickle with a hot dog is like relish with a hot dog. It's good. It tastes good.
They put dye in that damn green relish. Nah.
All of a sudden, you're worried about that, but you're skipping the salad at
Pete. You know what I'm going? I'm going up 51 to the old Red Caboose and get me a couple hot dogs and some cheese fries. I ain't going to no
super. I'm going to put ketchup on my hot dog.
Absolutely.
Me and, I'm 6 years old.
Me and Foxy from the McAfee Show love our ketchup.
You guys are both wrong.
No, we're not.
It's mustard and relish.
That's all you need. I bet you eat French's ketchup. You know, the highly intelligent
people. Don't start throwing slurs at me like that. Heinz ketchup is the only ketchup.
You know what, though? The intelligent people call it ketchup.
Really?
You don't watch King of Queens?
No, I don't sit around and watch King of Queens. I don't.
He said, pass the cats up. And what's his name?
Good job.
Doug said, what did you call it? The cats up. And old Frank Costanza, whoever his name is, Jerry Stiller. Says, the educated people pronounce it cats up.
Cats up.
You got to get on. You got to.
I don't need to sit down and spend time on King of Queens. I really don't.
Watch it. That's one of the best scenes of all time in movie history.
I'll go look it up just for you. Okay.
Cats up. Everybody in the comments knows what I'm talking about was cats up.
Okay. I'm okay to be in the dark regarding the cats up scene from King of Queens. I'll go look it up. Okay. Is Leah Remini in it?
Yeah. She wasn't in that scene.
Maybe I'll look it up later.
Why don't you put the cats up on your, salad at Lou Malnati's.
What do you even? It's okay to have a salad. It's not going to hurt you. The salad's not going to bite back. I promise.
I ate salad at our buddy Yoli's.
Yeah, they make great salads.
If I'm going to Lou Malnati's.
And then I put some fries on top, and it's Pittsburgh salad. Thanks to our friends at the Dan Heck team. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. They've been doing it since the very beginning. You need to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to take care of you. Go to heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. They'll make sure the whole process is seamless. They'll take care of you the whole way through. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team, the Dan Heck team, ready to help you buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. We appreciate them supporting the show here on Cabali and Mac. And my screen is all screwed up, and now it's full size. So now I got your face like right in my face. Hold on.
Not normal. I think there's a lot of issues going on today.
There's some technical issues happening. I don't know what's going on.
I don't think it's on our fault either.
I don't think it is, no. But, hey, it is what it is. All right, before we get to picks for this weekend's games, and you're in a bad spot now, Pally. You're like five games back of me. You better have a hard charge here down the stretch. That's what she said. We've got a big announcement. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, here on the program, we are going to celebrate what we are going to call the 412 days of Christmas. You're like 412. That's not, no, 412, like Shop 412. The folks at Shop 412 have been nice enough to get us a dozen of the best items from the store. And each day that we do a show, we will give away another item. May notice there are 4 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year. We do three shows a week usually. That's 12 shows. So each show, we will give away a different item for the 412 days of Christmas. If you know Shop 412, you know all the stuff is fantastic. And we can't wait to give it away to you. Courtesy of our good friends at Shop 412. You can obviously go to shop412.com or their store on the South Side, which is amazing as well, right down the street from the Steelers facility. But we appreciate them supporting the program by getting you, our listeners, some awesome stuff for the holidays. So we will get it started on Black Friday. That's next Friday, a week from today, with the first giveaway. And every day that we do a show between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we'll do another giveaway from Shop 412, the 412 days of Christmas here on Kabali and Mac. How's it sound, Kaboom?
First of all, did you take it out of your car yet?
Yeah, it's in the house now.
And number two is, can you give us a little hint of what may be in one of these giveaways? Just a random one.
So this may surprise you, but one of the items you can drink.
Drink out of?
That's all I'm saying. One of the items you can drink.
How are we picking these winners now? Just random numbers?
We're going to do it differently. I think each show we should use a different social media platform, whether it's X, which isn't working today.
This? Maybe we should pick one of our loyal followers on the old chat for one of them, too.
Yeah, I think that's worth... I think we should do it different every time, just to keep everybody on their toes, give everybody kind of an equal chance. But definitely, for everybody, you know, all the people that jump in the chat every single show that we do, you know, like Steelers Love, like Carol Toth, who Johnny else is all...
Barber.
Rick Barry, Mark Malone, you know, all the usuals that are
Tony's in Burner.
Every single time.
Where's our...
Where's Brian Garrett? Where's he at today?
Who?
Pony's Burner.
I think he started early. What about, what's her name? The one that always calls you mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I think we're having some technical issues, so maybe some people haven't jumped on.
Yeah, I'm not noticing
any
comments.
You should just give it to Carol since it's her 80th birthday today.
What?
I don't know. I see that, unless she's lying to us.
Is that true? Well, we didn't start the giveaways yet. But yeah, we're going to keep an eye out for... You know, I'm sure there's a way on YouTube where we can look up maybe the people that have watched the most episodes or interacted with the most episodes.
Well, speaking of that, we got the 412 days, but we also got the real hard days in the...
We're real close to that. Hold on. Let me just double check the number we're at, because when we get to 3,018 subscribers, we'll give away either your choice of the autographed Will Hard helmet or the autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin vest, and we're only 38 subscribers away on YouTube from hitting that number. So it may happen over the weekend. Let's see how fast we can get there. If you're in the chat, if you're watching the show, by all means, be a friend, tell a friend that they should subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah, where have you heard that before?
I was closer to getting it right than JJ was the other day. Torsha, there's Torsha Jackson, Mac Kabali and Keys.
The originals.
We will, you know what? There's got to be a way to go back and check on the people that have been most involved with the show over the first. You believe we've been doing this for 10 months now, which is ridiculous.
I don't know. What about Steelers Love? He thinks it's going to be some Iron City beer. I don't think Iron City and
we could probably.
There's two wonderful Pittsburgh companies.
You know what? Maybe we get a couple extra gifts above and beyond the 412 days of Christmas. Maybe we get a hold of our friends at Pittsburgh Brewing, and I don't know. Can we give away beer? Sure, why not? I'll drive it to your house personally, as long as you don't live too far away.
You're not taking my hat. Everybody's stealing my hat.
No. Yeah, Johnny the Barber, we see you too, okay? Just relax. I'm here too. I'm dropping crazy comments in the chat. How about me? We see you, Johnny. Okay. All right. Wanted to make that announcement today. The 412 days of Christmas here on Kabali and Mac will start a week from today, Black Friday, as we'll be getting you ready for
it. Get to the south side and buy some of the gear there, man. I got a 412 jersey. All the McAfee stuff is produced by the 412 shop. So,
yeah, they do a great job. We appreciate the guys
for the brand.
Support the show in any way possible. It's really cool to have people jumping on board the way they have. Honestly, it's thanks to all of you that are watching and listening. I could get like the old 95 AFC champs Blitzburg Iron City beer can that I got back there.
If you guys give it away,
if you promise to drink it on the show.
If you guys really, really want, I could bring you back some Lou Malnati salad.
Go to hell. It's good salad. All right. We'll put up a list, too, on social media. I'll compile it over the weekend. So maybe by the post-game show on Sunday, we'll have a list of all the stuff that we got from 412 to give away. So you know what to look forward to as well.
Hey, can somebody win something multiple days or no? One and done?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, sure. Why not? Let's make picks for the weekend. Just for the record, you took Buffalo, and you actually talked me into taking the Texans.
Yeah, you got lucky there.
Which paid off for me.
The old hook and ladder.
Yeah, it was a little bait and switch there. And don't worry, Carol. The giveaways will work for people that aren't watching live, too. You won't have to be live every time. So don't worry. We'll do it. We'll give everybody as much opportunity as possible. And the reason I say to follow on all the social media is because we'll do some on Twitter, obviously. We'll do some on Instagram, some on TikTok, some on Facebook, and certainly here on the YouTube channel while we're streaming live as well. So you blew it and took the Bills. I took the Texans. You are now five games behind me.
I still don't think I still don't believe you. I'm gonna have to write them down this week because I don't trust you.
I have every single anybody going back all year.
I don't trust anybody that goes to Lou Malnati's and buys salad. So I'm keeping this.
Get a salad before you get the pizza. Quit being a baby.
Let me write this stuff down because I don't trust you.
You know my love of Post-it notes, right? Everything goes on a Post-it note. Look at this. I have got every single week on a different colored Post-it note here. All the picks have been written down. They're all here. And I will hand them over to you at the end of the year. So you can go through and like Price Waterhouse or whatever, take care of the accounting.
What the hell are you talking about, Price Waterhouse? I don't even know what that
means. You ever watch an awards show and they have the guys in suits come out and go, "We've tabulated the votes here at Price Waterhouse Coopers"?
No, I did not.
Okay, too busy eating the salads at Lou Malnati.
Speaking of that, did you watch the old Country Music Awards?
I haven't watched them yet. No.
Oh, me neither.
Shocking. All right. Let's start with maybe the biggest game of the weekend, man. Indy at Arrowhead. Colts, Chiefs. This is the one that most of the country will be watching probably on Sunday, unless you're a Steelers fan or a Bears fan. Indy, Kansas City at Arrowhead. If the Chiefs lose this game, I think I saw a stat that says their probability of making the playoffs drops all the way down to like 35%.
Might as well just pack it up then.
I mean, they're in a tough spot. They lose this one, they'll have a losing record, and left on the schedule, they will have Houston, the Chargers, and Denver amongst games against the Cowboys and the Titans and the Raiders.
3.5-point dogs on the road, the old Coltsies.
Yep.
Coming off a bye week.
Yep.
Give me the Chiefs.
Ooh, I like the Colts. We're going the other way again. I'm going to open up a massive lead in this competition by the end of the week.
Even though I'm the one that picked the Colts to win the division, I think that not the final nail in the coffin yet for the Chiefs. They got still some life left in them.
We'll see. They can't run the ball to save their lives. New England at Cincinnati. Still no Burrow. This feels like an open and shut case, especially given what the Patriots defense is doing.
Yeah, I think the shine's off the old Flack monster. So
the Flack monster.
But honestly, man, Patriots are due for a stinker, but I just don't see it happening this week.
I don't either. What do they have left? They've got the Giants next week, and New England gets an extraordinarily late bye week. It's the week after Thanksgiving. So they're going to be in pretty good shape heading down the stretch run, but they've got to play Buffalo and Baltimore right out of the bye. I like New England this weekend in Cincinnati. All right.
Skip the next three. I know where you're going.
What?
The next Jets three are like all double-digit favorites.
Jets and Baltimore. I mean, are we on the same side here?
I got to be.
Baltimore?
Yep.
All right. Seattle, Tennessee. We're both on the Seahawks.
Yep.
All right. Minnesota, Green Bay.
I thought you were going to go to that Lions, Detroit at that time. But
well, we're both on Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Minnesota, Green Bay.
Those were all 12, 13, you know, 14 point favorites there. So
yeah,
it'd be crazy to pick against those guys. Minnesota at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Might as well go with the Packers, but they've been suspect.
They have. I think this is a good chance for them to get right, though, against Minnesota. J.J. McCarthy's, I don't know. He's just looking more and more like the Kenny Pickett 2.0 that I called him when he came out in the draft.
Ooh, no, at least Kenny Pickett was good for a year.
Good for a year.
Good for a preseason. Great for a preseason. Spectacular for a preseason.
Spectacular for a preseason and then okay in spots.
Well, I think he was above average that first year, second half, late in that first half, the Raiders
game. The final month of the season, he was pretty good.
Yeah, so more than we could say about J.J. McCarthy.
Fair point. All right. Jacksonville at Arizona. Don't look now, Kaboom, but the team you may hate the most, the Jacksonville Jaguars, are in a decent spot to make the playoffs.
And I hate them still, and I think the Cardinals win this game.
You're high. Jacksonville all the way.
You just don't know what Jacksonville team – I mean, you can say that about every AFC. You just have no idea what team's going to show up. Just because Jacksonville looked good last week doesn't mean diddly poo this week.
Watch your language. Oh, my God. This game is awful. Cleveland in Las Vegas. Yeesh.
Shador. Huh?
That's the thing. Like, I want to take the Browns, not because I like the Browns, because I think Myles Garrett will just torment Geno into doing stupid things with the football. But it's Shador. Like, when he completes a pass, it feels like an accomplishment. I'll be honest. Watching the end of that Ravens game was like, can this guy, does he even know how to throw the football to where he wants it to go?
I don't think it's going to matter here. I think the Browns defense is going to win this game and their run game. Vegas is just awful. I don't think they have.
They're real bad.
There's just nothing good. I mean, their offensive line could be the worst offensive line I've ever seen in my life.
Say a prayer for the quarterback that ends up there next year. Dear God.
You know, I think you're just going to have a good defensive performance in a pillow fight here. Maybe something like 13-10. But I'll take the Browns.
Yeah, I'm on the Browns as well. Falcons in New Orleans against the Saints, who are coming off a bye. The Saints stink, but I think it's still Tyler Shuck at quarterback. But Atlanta's got their own quarterback problems. Penix is done for the year, so it's Captain Kirk.
They would just give the ball to Bijan.
Yeah, I don't understand it. That's been the problem since Arthur was there.
Not only him. I mean, Algiers is a very low-key, tough running back. They got that. They got a 1-2 punch there that is very unique and very good, but they don't use him enough. I think the Saints win this game.
I'm going to take Atlanta, but I don't feel good about it because Cousins could throw four picks and the Falcons are a disaster. Philly, Dallas, the one that all the talking heads shows have been talking about all week. A.J. Brown popping off. Pickens and CeeDee Lamb had a huge game once they got in it after spending a series on the sideline.
At least we know that CeeDee Lamb can hold his liquor.
So he says, Philly, Dallas, in Dallas.
Oh, I'll take the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ah, I'm on the Eagles, too. I think their offense bounces back against what is – I know they had a good performance last week, but it was against the Raiders, for God's sake. The Dallas defense still sucks, I think. Tampa Bay in L.A. against the Rams. This is an avowed Buccaneers show. We are fans of Baker Mayfield and the Bucs. But they are having trouble dealing with all these injuries.
Yeah. Trust me. If they would actually get their running back, it would help. I mean, I've never seen a guy that's been out for 7 weeks and you don't really know why. Toe, foot.
Bucky's
just driving me nuts. Plus the receivers. I don't know how you don't go with the Rams on this one, even though. If somehow the Bucs can get healthy for that stretch. I think they're a team to beat, but man, sometimes you just fall into that trap of attrition.
Yeah, I think against better teams like Buffalo last week, the Rams this week, they're going to have a hard time. Look, they can put up points in bunches, even with all the injuries, right? I mean, who's the third string running back that had a huge day last week in Buffalo? Big dude. What's his name? I can't remember now. Help me out.
Young? I don't know.
Sean Tucker. Sean Tucker had a massive game against Buffalo. I just don't know. Like, when you're, and I love Emeka Egbuka. I really like Tez Johnson, but that's it. That's the offense. And I don't know how, I just worry the Bucs can keep it going despite all the injuries. So I'm going to take the Rams as well. But you're right. Tampa needs to get healthy in time for the stretch run in the playoffs. Carolina at San Francisco. Is there a way the Panthers keep shocking everybody?
Yeah, I think I like the Panthers in this one. I do.
Really?
San Francisco looked way too good for me last week. Way too good. And I'm just going back on just the fact that this season's crazy. And once, just because you look good one week, you're not going to look good the other week. I think Carolina will be able to run the ball. Give me the upset with the Carolina Panthers.
All right. I'm going to go with the Niners. Just based off, I don't think. Is Bryce Young healthy? Is he playing in this game? Do we know? You don't know, do you? Why am I asking you?
Why do I give a crap about Bryce Young in the
Because their backup is Andy freaking Dalton. That's why.
Which was probably better.
Okay, he practiced in full yesterday. He's that not better.
Diddly poo. That's my new favorite word.
Diddly poo.
That was, what's his name?
I think my grandma used to say that.
Oh, what's his name? Jim Mora. We didn't do diddly poo out there.
That's a great Jim Mora line. Playoffs. All right, final pick of the weekend. Final pick of the weekend.
Mike, you seem upset. What's it to you?
Steelers, Bears, Soldier Field, 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon in Chicago. I don't know which way to go on this one. I'll be honest. I have the score first before I think it's a 23-21 game. I think somebody wins on a walk-off field goal late, but I honestly don't know which side it's going to be. I don't.
Yeah, I think it's a pick 'em game. Give me the team that I'm going to talk myself out of it, ain't I?
Are you?
The Bears.
The Bears, the Bears, the Bears, the Bears, the Bears. So you're taking the Bears.
Still the Bears. I don't know. There's no reason, one reason why or another. I love how Aaron Rodgers would come in there and just, I would love to see him do one more time. I mean, just for the entertainment value of it all, going down there and just like sticking it to the
Does
Bears.
He give us the discount double check?
I would love touchdown? So. But the Bears, I mean, they find ways to win.
Yeah.
The Steelers team's going to show up. At least the Bears have been consistent winning games. And I've been awful picking Steeler games. I think the Steelers lose this game 23-20.
All right. You know what? This is what I'm going to do. Not only so we have different picks on a Steelers game for the first time all year, but also because I predicted a walk-off field goal, and Boz does not have one yet this year, does he?
I don't believe so.
He does not. We are due for a Chris Boswell walk-off field goal. And so I'm going to predict Steelers 23-21. But I don't – here's another prediction I'm going to make. And I'm not pleased by this one. It's just the way I expect things to play out. I don't think Rodgers finishes the game. I think he starts but does not finish again. And I think we get Mason.
I think if he starts, he finishes.
I don't know. I'm not feeling good about the wrist. The way he was talking about how he's got to protect it. And
it's all a part of the game. It's time to play the game.
It's time to play the game.
Oh, she come out and go with the water. He's playing the game and he enjoys playing the game.
Should I do that in here? I'll get everything wet. I might break some.
How about this one? If they win the game on Sunday, after the game, you got to go. My kid, that's disgusting. You just spit on your ceiling there, Jamar Chase. What are you doing?
That's much water.
Jesus Christ. You just spit on your ceiling. Poor Corey's going to come over from Higgins and do your room, and he's going to be like, why is there spit on the ceiling?
You spit on the wall here, animals. All right, that's going to do it for today. We've been on too long. Thanks to Chris Emma for joining the show from 670 The Score in Chicago. Thanks to all of our sponsors for supporting the show. Thanks to each and every one of you for watching. Thanks to Shop412 for jumping on board as well. We appreciate those guys helping us out with the 412 days of Christmas, which we will get started next Friday's Sunday post-game show as soon as Kaboom gets upstairs at Soldier Field from the locker room.
Awful stadium.
Looking forward to hearing all about it and your travel issues on Sunday night right here on YouTube or X or wherever you watch. Probably not X since it sucked today. Wherever you watch the show, thanks for joining us here on Kabali and Mac. See you and have a great weekend.